For 531-2012, we're all Pauly Shore down here. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for another episode of Video Games Hot Talk. How you guys doing?
Okay. All right.
I'm tired all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah?
The show is going to be terrible.
Is it because you're all the blood in your body is digesting mini margaritas?
I don't think that's what mini blood margaritas. Is for.
No, blood is for digesting.
We should get some of those Cadbury cream eggs that have booze inside them.
Boobs?
I don't think that's a real thing.
Booze or boobs?
Both.
I There's think both those things are real.
There's definitely candy that has booze
in it.
Booze in it.
I mean, all candy comes from cow's boobs.
Right.
I don't know if they call them boobs.
I don't think they do.
I think they call them dicks.
Yeah, is that what you think that you call them?
What have you guys been up to?
I watched a lot of movies.
Terrible movies?
Some of them were not so good.
What was the worst movie you saw?
Wow, the worst movie, probably Battle Los Angeles or whatever, Battlefield Los Angeles.
It was Didn't you know that movie was terrible going
yeah.
in?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that's my girlfriend was out of town, so I, like, took it upon myself to watch all the movies that I knew she was going to hate. I like watching movies that are not necessarily all that good, just to sort of understand why bad movies exist.
Because you eventually want to be a filmmaker.
I mean, that was the original plan.
That's why you got into photography, because it had the word film in it.
Yeah.
But then everything went digital and you were like...
Filmtography?
Yeah. And so that was pretty bad. I watched a bunch of...
Did it have a blows up in it, at least?
Blows up? Yeah, lots of blows up.
Explodes?
Yeah, lots of explodes.
Nice.
There were some aliens.
Did Los Angeles explode? Did all of those famous Los Angeles landmarks, such as...
La Brea Tar Pits?
Tower of London?
London Bridge is a famous Lake Havasu landmark.
Sure. It was weird. Like, they definitely blew up lots of parts of Los Angeles, but I didn't recognize most of them. The
you
premise was
any of them from
kind
GTA
of ridiculous.
Vice City.
I did not.
Miami doesn't really have any landmarks either.
It's got the ocean.
It has beach.
Yeah. That's a landmark. The ocean is definitely a landmark. Yeah, aliens.
Do you think if the terrorists eventually hated our freedom enough, they would want to fly all of their airplanes into our ocean?
Yes, I think.
Stop us from doing all of our 4th of July surfing.
Is that a thing that you do?
I think, yeah, probably somebody does.
I didn't mean our listeners, I meant you.
Summertime, there's gnarly waves.
Have you ever surfed?
No, Jesus Christ, I can't even swim.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I can't, I'm terrible at swimming and standing on things. So anything that's a combination of those two things is really bad. Also, that's why I never got a job at one of those like 50s style diners where you have to swim out to
each car.
Yeah.
The tough bit was getting the cars out of the pool when people wanted to leave.
Well, no, they park sort of next to the pool. It's basically you build the diner in an old castle, and the car swims have to swim out across the moat.
I feel like having a pool that was at like waist height or slightly higher would be nice for that, as opposed to built into the ground.
Just so all the
like
high school girls would have to be wearing bikinis.
No. so that they could come up to your car window, as opposed to like having to reach up from the
I'm not sure what to think about
pool.
The word bikinis.
It's Latin.
We went to Phoenix Comic Con.
Oh, yeah.
That
was a thing that happened.
But did you guys do anything exciting there at all?
No.
I played Puerto Rico with you.
That's true. That was okay. That was pretty fun.
So, Will Wheaton talk. He was kind of funny.
Did he sell you any indigo?
No.
Did he fill a boat with corn?
A different...
No.
You're conflating two things, I think.
Yeah.
Will Wheaton does that new thing where he plays Puerto Rico with Felicia Day and they webcam it.
Oh, right. I didn't hear about
tabletop.
That. But
I've seen a couple episodes of that. I think it's pretty great, actually. What is great about it is that it is introducing a bunch of people to a bunch of board games that they would not have otherwise known about or played. So that's awesome. You know, Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, nobody knows about that.
No, but I mean, well, there are a lot of people who
don't.
I know, but there are a lot of people who don't know what that is.
Well, the people who shop at Walmart. All they sell at Walmart is Barbie's horse game.
Horse face game.
Yeah, you roll a die and then you just say the word horse the number of times that you rolled on the die.
Brony.
Oh, that sounds like the idle thumbs game, the horse bag.
Yeah. there were no video games. So last year there was one video game at Phoenix Comic Con. Oh, yeah. It was us. And this year, because we didn't have a booth, there were no video games at Phoenix Comic Con.
No video games.
We did not start a trend.
I don't know why I kind of sung that.
A lot of
I thought you were doing your old booths. Prospector voice.
No video games.
I feel like they do a really good job of actually having a bunch of comics-related stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I care about comics. What we didn't have is our comic book there.
Oh, yeah.
Why
didn't we do that?
I don't know.
I keep forgetting that exists.
I think when the second issue comes out, it'll be a more real thing.
You think?
Yeah.
It's
been almost a year.
Have we moved it all on getting it into local shops?
All the local shops that we had deals with went out of business for spying on toilet ladies.
Well, Samurai and Gotham City
are good.
That wasn't
why they went out of business.
And they're still around.
Gotham City had a booth.
Yeah, Gotham City was there.
Every time I see Gotham City Comics, it makes me want to start a team called the Comic City Batmans. I don't know what we would play. Maybe
sports ball?
Criminal ball.
Bases ball?
Criminals ball.
Derby.
Okay.
Derpy.
The Derpy Derby. Yeah. We should start a Burning Man style event called the Derpy Derby.
Yeah.
Where the goal is to get from one place to another as inefficiently as possible.
Treadmills.
The winner is the person who just goes backwards on a treadmill.
You still have to get there, though.
Huh, okay. But it's a contest to see who can get there last.
Oh, you know what would be great, though, is enough treadmills where you could just lay down and it would just eventually deliver you there.
Like a robo-rally.
Yeah.
That's what robo-rallies write.
If you had...
That's what robo-rallies write.
If you had, like, let's say 20 treadmills, battery-operated because you're in the middle of the desert, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could you...
Have a team of people picking up a treadmill from the end and
running
like
it
to one of those army trucks that carries its own bridge.
You'd only need like four or five if you were willing to let it go slow enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you would need zero if you were willing to ride ones that were turned off. Right, and you could do it with a team of zero dudes, too. No, treadmills running at zero speed.
Wait, I'm confused.
I know. You guys play any video games lately?
Yeah, played
Treadmill Quest.
Nothing. 0.0. New.
I played a newish game on my iPhones.
What kind of iPhone game?
It's called 100 Floors.
Is there one also called 100 Doors, or am I making that up?
I think you're making that up. I might have talked about this last week. I'm not sure.
And there's another one where you have to walk 100 dinosaurs.
They added...
That's one where you have to bang 100 whores.
The irony of 100 Floors is that there were only 40 when I got it.
Oh.
They added floors 41 to 55.
Are you confusing irony with inaccuracy?
No, I think it was situational irony to have a thing called 100 Floors and only have 40 in it. That's like saying something that is not true.
I knew this girl who was a teacher, and she told this story about doing a presentation to her high school English class about the different kinds of irony. And then there was a story on the projector about a dragon. It was like a little short story about a dragon. And she called on this stoner kid who wasn't paying attention and said, "Billy, stoner Billy, what kind of irony is this story an example of?" And he looked up at it and said, "I don't know, dragon irony." Pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
So what's this game like?
So this game is basically a collection of puzzles. You are trying to get from the first floor to the top floor, and each floor is some kind of puzzle.
A Sudoku.
It's basically trying to use the different aspects of the phone.
Yeah. To sort of like very simple escape the locked room.
Very, very simple in that sense.
And there were 40. There were even 40 phone control gimmicks.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are just like the touch screen and like some visual puzzles and stuff. Trying to figure out. You have an inventory. You pick up objects and you can use those objects on some other things in the scene. Sometimes.
It's an adventure. Do you ever have to glue two of the items together?
Adventure-y.
I have
with
not
a mustard
made any glued
with a mustache
glued objects. You sometimes carry the inventory with you.
Mustard, and it leaves you with a mustard mustache. And then
you were going to say, "Don't you hate it when you drink a big glass of mustache?"
Yes,
I mean you do hate it when you drink a big glass of mustard too. I mean, you can put some water in it, I guess. Sounds like something you'd get at the Kellogg Sanitarium.
Big glass of mustard water.
Kellogg's
for your giblets.
Was Kellogg's founded trying to like solve all of your problems with high fiber diets?
Cornflakes was entirely for your butt.
Okay.
Entirely?
You weren't even supposed to eat it, yeah.
Just it was supposed just to lay down.
It was like a butt poultice. I guess a diaper is kind of like a butt poultice. It's like a corn medicated diaper. You had to get somebody to chew it up for you.
And spit it on your
butt. Like a bird's, it's like a bird's nest built to order on your butt. It's a bespoke butt bird's nest.
I don't like this conversation.
You know, bird's nest soup is made out of these bird's nests that are collected in these giant caverns, I think in South America somewhere, maybe Brazil. Uh-huh. And you know what those bird's nests are made out of?
Poop.
Bird saliva.
Oh.
They spit and it like hardens into these like fibers. They then turn into these nests.
Do they spit or do they like chew up some trees?
I think they spit. I think it's like...
Do you ever have wasp's nest soup?
No,
I don't think that's a thing. It comes with a bunch of wasps in it.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's what they serve to you if you get in trouble.
Yeah.
You're grounded and you can't eat anything except wasp's nest soup for the next 2 weeks.
Oh.
That would kind of suck.
Yeah.
So you solved all the puzzles?
I'm on the 55th floor, which is the last one in the most recent expansion, and I have no idea. Nothing I have tried has caused anything to happen whatsoever. I don't know if it's actually solvable or if it's...
And they got a long-term plan if there's only 55 floors and they're trying to get to 100.
Yeah, but why is it only 100 then? Why wasn't it 1,000 floors? If they launched it with fewer than half, you would think that they would just shoot for the moon.
Maybe they...
They knew that they wouldn't be able to come up with 1,000 different things.
I mean, how do you know how tall the stairs are? You don't know how tall the stairs are, so maybe 100 floors is enough to get to the moon.
Oh,
sure.
So maybe they did shoot for the moon, and now you feel like a dick.
These are really tall doors. Mm. Nothing is to human scale if they are that
in between, is there a cutscene in between every two floors, which is just the scene from Ghostbusters where they have to walk all the way up to the top of that building?
No, there are no cutscenes. You would love it. There's no ending and no cutscene.
Nice. My kind of game. Is that it? Is that all you've been playing?
I really have not played much except for the assignment since last week.
Wandering through mazes of XML files.
Yes.
What about you, Riff?
Well, I finished up with Diablo 3. I started playing some random public matches, which was slightly more entertaining than playing solo, but not tremendously more so, because the other players did not really talk much, and it wasn't that much different than having three NPC characters instead of just the one.
I mean, it makes the monsters harder.
Yeah, it does make the monsters harder.
You sort of can't strike off on your own in a public game, in my experience.
And it was interesting seeing how some of the other classes work, although the first public that I dropped into was me and three Chinese guys, so all four of us were playing monks. But we each had a different monk build, which was interesting.
Okay. A different monk loadout.
Yeah, sure.
Jesus
so,
Christ.
So we were all just crammed up in melee range on monsters, and each of us had different colored explosions. So it was completely baffling. I had no idea what was going on. Although when a couple of the monks dropped out and one of them was replaced by a witch doctor who had three different pets, I think that was even more confusing. Because I had no idea what those things were, and they look like monsters.
Right. I played a public game where a guy named Greed joined, tried to sell me some gear, and I was like, nope, I'm cool. I don't want to buy gear from you. And he left the game, and then joined the game again, and then left the game, and then joined the game again. I think he was just hitting public game over and over again.
How was he, like, what
he
was
kept
his...
matchmaking him with me.
He was going to drop it on the ground, and you were supposed to drop some gold?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his goal was. I mean, the thing that he was trying to sell me was pretty nice for the price that he wanted, but I was like, no, I'm not, I don't want to... No, I don't even know if that's a thing. Can you even initiate a trade? You must be able to.
I don't know if it has. Auction house.
I think that's what the auction hall is for,
I never tried it.
We never tried. Whenever you and I were playing, we would just drop stuff on the ground when we didn't want it, and we were giving it to the other person.
Maybe I should have tried to trick him into dropping the thing on the ground first. Can you drop gold on the ground?
I don't know. That's why I was asking. I was like, how are you going to get him gold?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, gold in Diablo 2 was an inventory item.
Right.
Right, and it piled up. And that was obnoxious. Glad they got rid of that.
Mm. But I made it as far as getting to the butcher in hell difficulty, and he just creamed me. And I decided that rather than do the farming necessary to build up the gear necessary to kill him, that the fact that this was the 2.25 times through the game point, I didn't really need to see anymore.
So people that beat the game in within like 6 hours or whatever, like, you know, when it came out and had already beaten, had they already, like, people had already soloed Inferno within the first day or two, right? Like,
I don't think that's true. I think that it was a few days before somebody beat Diablo on Inferno.
Okay, but how did they do that if we're getting stuck middle of the game because we don't have awesome enough gear?
Well, we're also not playing 24 hours a day.
Sure, but like, did they just brute force it and find, you know, like, really lucky?
Maybe they figured out how to play a class that we don't know about.
Are we still? Was your build still having a bunch of magic find on it? Were they just? Yeah. They were just maxing out non-magic find, just DPS. And
that, or it may be that they were keeping far ahead enough of the auction hall wave where they were, all the drops that they were getting were stuff that people were still willing to spend a lot of money for.
So they were selling stuff at a huge profit and able to buy up a bunch of lesser.
Yeah.
I guess.
Or not even necessarily lesser, but more appropriate to them.
Well, but where was the gear that was appropriate to them coming from? If they were the
other
first
dudes like them,
through.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a sense of how you do it. I saw somebody who was level 60 with 4 hours and 20 minutes played, which I, you know, it could have been a Photoshop job, I guess. But it could have also been, I guess there was some sort of exploit with Asmodan for a while where you could just like keep killing this boss and then get a couple of really quick quest turn-ins. And so you could, if you just kept running that, it would level you pretty fast.
Oh, weird.
But I don't really know.
So, after I finished with that, I went back to WoW and, dinged 80 and got into the, Cataclysm stuff finally, which I'm really enjoying. It's really
nice.
Which
zone did you go to first?
I started out with, Hyjal, and after I finished that, I went back to the other starting zone, the Vashjir.
I did the underwater stuff when I went through on my one guy and then never really went back and played Hyjal.
Hmm.
I played it far enough to get to the daily quest stuff that they introduced in the first patch after Cataclysm, but then I never really got it. It like, I was like, I'm just gonna have to do the same thing like for the next 10 days to unlock any new content, and I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna do that.
it's pretty cool. It's definitely a lot more linear than previous stuff, which is a bummer that they've lost so much of the exploration. But they were kind of losing all the exploration anyway because of the way it tells you exactly where you need to go to get your stuff done.
Yeah.
So it's not like I would have been going much off the beaten path anyway.
And I don't know how much fun that was. Like, yeah. leveling my characters the first time, like, I would just run out of shit to do because I didn't know which zone
where to go next. Yeah.
Halfway across the world I was supposed to go to where the quests were. So it was either ask somebody or you couldn't really run around and find where you were supposed to go.
I really liked all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
I was super immersed though, so it was
I do miss things like, I don't know, like wandering around and finding an interesting hollow tree off in the middle of nowhere that you could stand in, and it wasn't worth anything. Yeah, you couldn't
anymore?
Do anything there.
That still
but
happens.
But there's no,
because you always know exactly where you're supposed to go to finish your next thing. You
don't find yourself wandering around ever at all.
Huh. I mean, you also don't find yourself struggling to figure out whether
this is also true.
Am I in the right place, but somebody else killed all these quest mobs? Do the quest mobs spawn somewhere else? Like, there was a lot of uncertainty that wasn't fun.
I did not play the game in its very earliest days, and so when I started playing, there already were a bunch of wikis and stuff, so if I really was lost on a quest, I could always look it up.
Yeah, I mean, there was Thoughtbot the entire time that I was playing, but
yeah.
You're having fun, though?
Yeah. Actually, the two things that they've started doing that I really, really like. First of all, they've added a ton of, like, it's more so than the previous expansions or the vanilla version, there's a ton of quests that relate to the overall plot of the expansion and like tell you what's going on in the story here, which I never knew what the hell was going on in Burning Crusade or who these people are or why I was supposed
to
care.
There were a lot of things going on at the same time.
Yeah. And whereas in...
And the story itself in Burning Crusade was really confusing too, because it was this whole alternate reality kind of thing that was both a historical document in some ways and something that was happening in real yeah. time. It was very confusing.
Whereas in Cataclysm, the quests are very much more have directly to do with the events that are happening, and there's a lot of like there's several quests I've done where you're actually playing a different character. You're like playing a flashback of another character that's involved in the plot in some other way.
Weird.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Wow, I don't remember seeing any of that.
It's in Vashjir, the underwater stuff, so you must have.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't remember that.
Unless they added
Battle Maiden
later
thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Fish Lady.
Okay, right, where you're a Naga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
And so that was...
Isn't... The Outland stuff, though, is still just sitting there outside of... The story
any
continuity.
Continuum.
Yeah.
How did they handle that? When they change the entire world, do they talk about the changes? So if you are just a new player, will characters be talking about how there was this giant cataclysm and things changed? Or do they just sort of move on from there? So a new player wouldn't even know that this zone, which is Thousand Needles, used to not have a bunch of water in it.
I haven't been to a lot of those zones yet.
Okay.
So I don't know. But the other thing I wanted to comment on that they've started doing in Cataclysm is it used to be that you get a long chain of quests and then there'd be a boss at the end of the quest chain, right? And
right.
He's an elite guy, and because he's elite, you need three guys to kill him. So it becomes this group quest, which... If you don't have a bunch of friends or don't want to group up with randoms, you just end up never doing.
Or more likely than not, if there just aren't any people.
Right. If everybody else is level ahead of this content. So what they're doing now instead is these guys are still elites,
yeah.
But they come with some sort of raid trick. There's one of them that you have to kite him over a rune and then activate the rune and it damages him. There's one where you've got a pet that if you click the thing when it shouts that it's about to do his big attack, then you're shielded so you don't take damage from the attack. So not only are these quests now completely soloable,
right?
It also trains you for how raid bosses work, which nothing in the game ever did before.
Okay.
Well, arguably... They did, right? Arguably, the group parts, big elite bosses at the end of those quest chains did train you for raid stuff when raid stuff was just tank and spank.
Okay, yeah.
By and large,
yeah.
Right?
They trained you for tank and spank, but they didn't train you for any of the modern don't stand in the fire and that kind of stuff.
I mean, one of the earliest raid bosses was Onyxia, right? Wasn't that the first real raid boss? And that's a really complicated environmental fight. And there was
supposed
nothing.
To run to the center, but then don't stand next to other people.
Right.
Yeah. More dots.
Well, you need to be away from the egg chambers, but you need to be not so close to everybody else that you get killed by some giant exploding thing.
I never saw that fight.
Really?
Yep.
We did
I
it
only ever saw
once
one
as
raid.
A foreman before it left.
Foreman.
George Foreman.
Yeah. We because we were all level 80 or whatever, so we just went and creamed Onyxia just for the hell of it before they changed her.
Did you have the cloaks or whatever that you?
I don't think we did. No, we didn't have any.
Oh, I'm thinking
about
that word.
Did you need the cloak from Onyxia to beat Onyxia?
No, you need the cloak from Onyxia to get to
Molten Core.
No, it wasn't Molten Core. It was the next one. Not Blackrock Depths.
Blackrock Spire.
Was that it? It might have been.
I can't remember.
Black something.
Why did it have to be black something?
I don't know. The designers were racially sensitive.
You've been playing any of
that? Trying to be inclusive.
Any of that Binding of Isaac?
I've played a little of it. I played three or four games of it today, and for the most part got fucked by the RNG.
What?
Yeah.
Are you sure you don't mean you were bad at playing Binding of Isaac?
I was bad enough at playing it that the RNG could do significant damage to me.
What were you doing?
different stuff. My last game, I got the Syrup of Ipecac power up, which makes your shots explosive.
Yeah, and they damage you, and if they hit a dude close to you, they blow up and just immediately kill you.
Like, and that
power up is kind of a death sentence.
Yeah, it's a kind of thing that sounds like a good idea on the surface, but just really isn't. And the fact that it arcs means you can't shoot anybody close to you on purpose.
Yeah, so if you're fighting something that's significantly faster than you,
you
can never really get it far enough away from you to hit it.
Yep.
With the shots, it's rough. It seems like
plus every power up I got after I got that was a tears boost, which was wasted.
It seems like it is weighted now to give you stuff, the new stuff from the expansion, because I'm finding so much of that and so little of the old items.
I have gotten a lot of toothpicks,
which is nice. It added more than I expected it to add. It gave you a sort of an equipment slot that gives you you get like a trinket that does various things, just mostly like increasing the odds of things.
Does it ever actually say anywhere what those trinkets do, or do you just have to go look at the wiki?
You just have to look at the wiki.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a sense of it.
They figured out by just playing a bunch, or how does the wiki find out?
I don't know. I mean, there's one that's like a heart, and then when you do that, it increases the likelihood that a heart will spawn when you beat a room. And like that was pretty easy to figure out because it just happens all the time. You know, I'm not even sure, like, they never really got hard numbers for a lot of the original stuff, right? Like,
it's probably true.
You know, what does the luck foot do? Like, it makes it so you never get bad pills, and it increased, like, they thought that it increased the payout on the shell game to 2/3 of the time instead of 1/3 of the time, but nobody ever really got any good data on it, at least at the time when I saw it. They also added like new kinds of, well, in actually two different things, curses, which one of the curses is you don't get a map, which is pretty hard on the deeper levels. Another curse.
Why is that?
Why is what?
Why is it hard to not have a map?
Because you need a map to know where you're going and what you're doing.
Couldn't you also just create a map?
You could, yeah.
Okay, because like these are literally square rooms.
Yeah.
So a piece of graph paper.
You could, but you're not going to. So if you don't write it down, you're not going to know where you're not. So that's
the problem. It's extra labor on your end.
Yeah, which is not fun. There is the curse that makes the level twice as big, which is sort of like curse of awesome, because there's two item rooms and two bosses and two stores.
Wow.
A lot of the time. And sometimes two secret rooms.
Why is that a curse?
I don't know. I mean, if it's a big level and you don't
know
your way around
it, you have to survive through that many stuff,
right? It depends.
Do you have to kill both bosses to get to the next level?
Usually, yeah. They're usually adjacent.
Oh, wow.
I don't know exactly. Apparently, the rules of generation on those levels will occasionally make the last level unwinnable. If you can't teleport out of the boss room, you're screwed, which sucks. But then there are also these new tile sets, I guess, that are, it'll be like, instead of the basement.
You've been cursed to a different tile set.
No, this isn't a curse. This is just a new thing. Like, every once in a while, instead of basement one, you will get cellar one or cellar two. And then instead of the caves, you get the catacombs. And instead of the depths, you get the necropolis. And they just have different sets of rooms and different sets of enemies. Like and everything is a fucking spider, and the spiders are real mean. The spiders are like those jumping guys, but worse. Bad spiders.
Those weird flasher dudes.
And so the expansion was what, $3 or something?
Yeah.
This seems like a lot of labor for
$3. Yeah.
Like I feel like he must be just so confident in the numbers because it did so well that he can offer something for that.
I can't imagine somebody not buying it who bought Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I want to play more Binding of Isaac before I get the expansion, I guess. Because I only played like a dozen games or something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it doesn't change it so fundamentally that you wouldn't enjoy it. I mean, unless you just want to learn.
I want to learn more before I, because I feel like a lot of the game is like knowledge, and starting off with double the complexity would be that much more tricky.
Yeah, maybe. I've managed to beat the new end boss once and then the old end boss for the first time. I did that just this morning. I was like, before I came to work, I was like, I'm going to play one game of Binding of Isaac and see how that goes. I still can only ever beat it as Cain. I just can't hack it with any of the other characters. They're too slow. They don't hit hard enough. So I don't know. You know, it's like, what I kind of don't like about it is that it's either a horrible struggle or a cakewalk, depending on the combination of power-ups that you manage to get.
Yeah.
And there's like some strategy involved, and there's absolutely some skill involved not getting killed and stuff. But the strategizing opportunities are fairly limited. It's like, well, I've got one key. Do I want to unlock this chest or this item room or this store?
Yeah.
And it's always like, well, you always want to unlock the item room because the chest might just contain a single nickel or a single penny. But the chest might also contain another key. So, you know, you're like playing the odds on a lot of that stuff. And
if you happen to have the dice, then which things do you want to try and re-roll?
I have never gotten the dice. Like, I didn't do whatever you had to do to unlock the D6 on Isaac, and I've never found the... I guess you can get a D20, which is just an activatable version of that that drops as a power-up, but I've not seen it yet.
Jenny swears by the D6. She plays whole games just...
Sure. I mean, I think once you get that, it makes Isaac the best character by far, because you just get you get to re-roll every item drop in the game. And so many of the items are useless.
Yeah.
You know, like so many of the activatable ones are just things that you would never use for anything. But I don't... What do you have to... Do you have to beat the game with the blue baby to unlock the D6 on Isaac? I think you do, and that's just so fucking hard.
No, I don't know.
Because the blue baby doesn't get any life.
Yeah.
You can only use the soul hearts. There's a new kind of heart that are these white things where you get a half a heart, and if you lose it, it's gone. But if you keep it until the end of the level, it turns into a real heart container. So it's like kind of like a just reward for not getting hit.
Yeah.
I also got that achievement for beating the first two levels without taking damage for the first time ever. And then I was thinking, I'm just fucking never going to get the other achievements, the ones for doing the subsequent pairs of levels, because it's
no damage.
Yeah, no damage. It's just so tough.
Ridiculous.
And I guess you might eventually get lucky. And this level spawned only rooms with no enemies in them. Just nothing but fire and poop.
Just like the rest of my life.
I played some Diablo 3. Also, I went through the process of getting all the shit to unlock Whimsyshire. And, you know,
how long did that process take you?
For a while. I am guessing that it probably took 5 hours in total. I had to kill Izual to get the plans for the Staff of Herding. I probably had to kill him 40 times to get him to drop them.
That's rough. I had to go through it maybe a dozen, but...
Yeah. It was multiple days of my Diablo 3 playing, doing nothing but running the colonnade to... The first level of the...
Were you clearing the colonnade or just booking through it?
No, the colonnade is just you... The colonnade is where the waypoint is. You just walk to the door. Then you walk up that path, hit the teleporter, go to that level where... And then I was just going through. I mean, I was just like hugging a wall until I found the exit. I am curious as to whether or not the levels... that are generated in Diablo 3 are being generated ahead of time or if they're being generated as you explore them. Because
how would they be generated as you explore them?
I mean, why couldn't you generate them as you explore them?
Right. Because you have to guarantee a bunch of stuff about the levels,
which I think is easier if you, I mean, what strikes me is that we in our entire playthrough didn't really hit a lot of dead ends. And I'm just kind of curious. I mean, there was never a time when I was just hugging one edge of this level, just playing it over and over and over again just to get through it, that it didn't seem it was about the same amount of time from when I left the exit to when I got to the exit.
What you're saying is if you're walking down a pathway, like it could generate 3/4 of a level and then say...
The first branch you go down becomes the exit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's... And I don't know. I mean, I might just be imagining it. It might be that the design, the algorithms by which they create these things are so samey that it
just
feels...
That you get an intuition for which one
like
to go
that.
Down. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it was never... You know, I mean, this is a thing that we sort of talked about a week or two ago. It's not... It doesn't seem like the level generation is that interesting, right? They don't seem that different from moment to moment,
sure,
from play to play. And it didn't seem like that in Diablo 2 either. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, oh, this is a cool environment that got generated. I mean, it was just like, this is more...
The environments are awesome.
They are.
Artistically.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way. And,
but they don't mean anything.
There's so many different ones.
Gameplay-wise.
Is,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's weird. You know, I was reading there was a Rock, Paper, Shotgun, like sort of everybody talking it over, like this is what we think about Diablo 3. And a couple of them pointed out, and this is a thing that I've also done, you play Diablo 3 while you're like listening to a podcast. You play Diablo 3 while you're watching television, which I would not do.
Wow, while you're visually doing something else.
I mean, I think a lot of people watch.
They did specify that it was,
it was television that you didn't need to look at.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to be reading any subtitles.
Okay. Yeah, and it's just
I would listen to podcasts and play Diablo 3.
Oh, yeah. I totally have, and it's just I think that says something about
how meditative it is,
how interesting the gameplay is, right? Moment to moment. I mean, it's satisfying,
right?
But it's like all
it's very Vegas.
It's like all sugar, no fiber, right? Yeah. It's, I don't know that I'm gonna declare that I am finished playing Diablo 3, but I don't know that I'm gonna. I'm trying to think back. I think I played a fuckload of Diablo 2, but I probably really didn't play that much Diablo 2.
So, I remember, not that this really motivated me per se, but having leaderboards and seeing my, you know, seeing my rank and like how it was climbing was something that was really satisfying. And I've never seen a single leaderboard.
What did the leaderboards measure in Diablo 2?
Just level.
Huh.
Because like getting to 99 was really hard.
It does seem like you level faster in Diablo 3 than you did in Diablo 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's just a modern sensibility kicking in, you know. But
no, I mean, it seems like, you know, my experience bar just seems to be chugging along.
I have to say, I am not excited about leveling in Diablo 3.
I like getting to see all the new, like, skills and skill effects and stuff.
Well, so it seemed like...
And that was pretty
satisfying. I enjoyed watching you level your wizard, because then it was some new sweet shit to show up. But the barbarian, I think it might just be a little boring.
Just like, samey.
Because, I mean, it's, you know, we've had this discussion before. There are only so many ways to hit something with a sword. Like, there are a lot of ways to wave your hands and make literally anything happen with magic that looks interesting and is thematically cool. But there are only so many ways to hit a dude with an axe.
Hmm.
Right? And...
I mean, they're just a lot less showy. You know, you can hit a dude with the flat of your axe, or you know, you can lunge with the front of your axe.
Sure.
You can lunge and then smack.
You can shave them and then treat them to a nice dinner and then stab them in the groin under the table with the axe.
Okay.
Right? So these are all things
that would be a hard animation to do like less than a second. You know, because I mean, I feel like you got a limited amount of time to really capture the attention of the guy who's killing a dude with an axe, and like you try and develop that whole story about, you know,
you
like,
could
what are this character's motivations?
Throw the axe to the side and like point at it and then punch them in the balls.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say you could put the axe down and then just intimidate them into beating their head against it until they die. That'd be pretty badass.
What, don't you wave the axe with your left hand up in the air and then you
punch them in the dick and say crapo papo?
Yeah.
For those of you not in the know, I'm describing the ancient martial art Crapo Bappo, where you pretend to do something with your left hand to distract somebody from the fact that you are yelling Crapo Bappo and punching them in the dick with your right hand. This is a thing that I encourage all of our listeners to try.
Wasn't there some like a master practitioner of Crapo Bappo who pretended to punch somebody in the dick with their left hand so they could actually punch them in the dick with their right?
Ah, yeah, it's pretty meta.
Yeah.
What is the sound of one hand crapo-bappoing?
Well, I think it's just crapo-bappo.
Yeah, it is crapo-bappo. Sometimes
it's not a very good koan.
You want to make it as high pitched as you comfortably can and roll your R's. It's pretty good martial art.
Oh man, I can't roll my R's.
I bet you could, just given some practice.
I'm really glad that ancient scroll got discovered, unleashing Crapo Bappo on an unsuspecting world once again. It's very old. I mean, this was like back in the days where it's like, look at me, I'm churning butter with my left hand, or I am...
And then they hang you for being a witch.
I'm putting a bale of hay onto this shelf. Is that a thing you do with one hand or at all?
Sure, bales of hay.
Yeah, you put a bale of hay on a hay shelf. Shelf hay while the sun shelf. That's what they say. I also, Whimsyshire was really disappointing after all that time.
I thought it was really awesome, but then maybe you had it built up a lot more than I did.
Well, I didn't really know anything about it at all. I mean, I knew that there were some unicorns or whatever, but like, Yeah, I don't know. It was just a level.
I mean, it was a funny level.
I mean, it seemed like a lot of the stuff
was
really...
The map was crayon drawings on note-line notebook paper.
It seemed like a lot of it was really half-ass, too. Like, the animations weren't very good, and there were a lot of visual glitches and stuff that you didn't get in the rest of the game, and I was like, yeah, I don't think they worked very hard on this. And why would you, really?
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean...
I've not played to it yet. I haven't bothered trying to collect any of the pieces of the pie.
A little silly. Having gotten that first one on the very first run through, I was like,
What is this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I want to farm all the gold to it. Because I think, you know, man, I could have used that 150,000 gold to gear up and be able to get further down. I want to get back to those levels that are a circle, because that's pretty cool.
Oh, that hell tower thing? Yeah, I like those too.
The ones that like spiral.
Yeah.
Those are great.
So I also played, there was this, are there MITs in other countries? And if so, why are they called MIT?
I have never heard of another one.
Maybe there's Malaysia, the Malaysia Institute of Technology. There's the Myanmar Institute of Technology,
it's
formerly
possible.
Known as BIT, but then it got 8 times as large.
Right.
The moon.
Okay, right. Moon Institute of although wouldn't that be Luna Institute of Technology?
No.
Or, no?
No.
They just call it Moon Institute Muna. Of Technology.
That's right.
Okay. What other kind? Mexico? Mexico?
Oh, Mexico.
They don't have technology in Mexico.
Well, I mean, they do. It's just, you know, they make a lot of carts and...
Carts?
Sure.
Okay.
Donkey carts.
Oh, I see. So you're actually making mean jokes about Mexican technology.
Yes.
Gosh. I mean... They got drug cartel technology. That shoot a dude in the face and cut his head off. They probably cut his head off first and then
see,
shoot him.
See, is
in
the
that
face. A meaner joke than
I don't know, it probably is. Do you think it's especially like do you think so if you're conscious for 30 seconds or whatever after your head gets cut off, do you think it would be super mean to cut somebody's head off and then point a gun at it? Like, would that make you more freaked out, or do you think it would be possible to be more freaked out? Also, here's a question. Can you be freaked out if your adrenal glands, which are on the tops of your kidneys, aren't capable of putting any adrenaline into your brain?
I guess that's a good question.
Where does your fear come from? Is it rational or is it visceral? Because you don't have any viscera anymore.
Are you really conscious for 30 seconds after getting your head cut off?
Nobody knows, because you can't like ask that. I mean, they're like, hey, could you... I feel like there were stories where they were like, hey, after they cut your head off, try and blink as many times as you can. And then somebody did it.
Do you think if... right after your head was cut off, somebody grabbed your severed head really fast and took a deep breath and blew it through your neck stump, could you talk?
Oh, man. I don't know. Or if they attached you to a bellows that was nearby.
So you could say, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. Ouch. Ouch. That hurt, I guess. It's sort of hard to tell. Does my whole body hurt? Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yep. Be pretty rough. That's the thing. Do you think you'd be freaked out if somebody pointed a gun at you at that point? Or would you be like, what the, man, this is the least afraid of that gun I have ever been in my entire life.
I think I would be more freaked out if somebody was blowing air through my neck stump.
Oh, yeah?
So, dude, personal space.
So I played this game by the Mexico Institute of Technology called Simon.
How is that spelled?
S-Y-M-O-N.
Oh.
And it is a game where you are a guy in a hospital bed and you look around a room and your only actions are to mouse look around and then click the mouse to dream.
Is this the
and the
procedurally
dream is a, yeah, the
generated
dream is a procedurally
point
generated point and click adventure.
Yeah, I read about that.
And it was not great. I played through. Apparently you have to do 4 of them to finish the game, and I was totally done after 3. And I think maybe 3 would have been a better number. It would put together these rooms, and it's basically because it's a dream, it doesn't have to make any sense. That's right. One of the tenets of their random level generation is like, whoa. So it's just like some backgrounds and then doors placed at intervals. And I think every environment is a loop. Like a ring of rooms connected with 2 doors in each of them, except for 1, which is just a one-way door back to the first room. I might be wrong about that. But it has a variety of objects that you can pick up, and it has a variety of things that interact with those objects and change properties of them. And then it has a variety of things that you can use the objects on, and they're like you know, there's a treehouse, and it's like, I remember when the kids used to play with their stuffed animal in the treehouse. And then you try to put the stuffed animal in the treehouse, and it's like, no. Their stuffed animal was melancholy, not happy. So then you have to go find some blue paint to dip the stuffed animal in to make it melancholy. And there are just various things that will change the attributes of these items, and it just seems to sort of, I mean, every once in a while it will put a thing right next to the thing that you use to operate on it and right next to the guy that needs it or whatever.
Because it's just completely random.
Yeah, and there weren't enough of those things that you didn't see the same ones over and over again in a really short span of time. And so that was, it was an experiment, right? I think it was a, like, we're demonstrating that you can make this kind of game procedurally, and I really, really want that to be
a technology that I bet is actually satisfying.
I bet we could do it better.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably design it. I don't know that we could implement it.
Oh, well, okay. Better.
I remember talking to our buddy who worked on World of Warcraft when we were talking about, like, could you have an MMO that had all of the best aspects of Ultima Online and all of the best aspects of World of Warcraft, right? Could you have a world that was worldy and persistent, but still gave you the ability to have a meaningful impact on things and allowed the stories to be about you? And I think that you could. I think I'm not capable of doing it, and I don't think that the techniques.
How many people do you want to play the game?
Sure. That's an excellent question, right? But my idea is that you could have enough stuff going on in a world if it were procedurally generated that each person could have their own set of things to do, right? I mean, you could make an animal den appear that you could go into and save the guy that, you know, you meet the blacksmith and the blacksmith is like, fuck, my daughter's gone. And then it creates an area where somebody stole the blacksmith's daughter. Out where no one is standing.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
So nobody, you know... With and somebody else Knights, could go in there and do it and fuck up your quest, and that's fine.
The game world being, like, a weird clockwork mechanism that can, like, reconfigure itself or something like that. That gives you a lot of freedom in the fiction to change stuff. Or, like, the portal world would be another good situation where, like, the rooms can reconfigure themselves, so it's like...
But I don't know that you need... that, right? I mean, I feel like you could just do, if you were just procedurally generating this entire big fantasy kingdom, you could make it arbitrarily large. Like, the more people that come in, the more, you know, and it's like, you might have to do some fakey shit where it's like, well, you can only get quests at your hometown because nobody else trusts you up until this certain point, right?
But, like, let's think about, like, the Minecraft worlds, right? Like, you explore those and they are arbitrarily large and they're cool. Let's say you start filling those with quests, and then you add some new feature that is pretty exciting, but you've already built out this world really far. So in order to get to the new exciting feature, you have to travel for 4 days to get to the far end of the kingdom or something.
Well, but I mean, if you, like, so then let's say that the goblin wizards have figured out a way to instantly create goblin camps. But you can watch it happen, but it's explained in the fiction, right?
Sure.
So, like, now, you know, you can...
Sure.
You can do that. Like, there's nothing that says a magical world of wonder can't change over time, right?
Yeah, but I mean, if you want to have things like a goblin population that, like, comes out of the hills and a wolf population that, like, if there's a bunch of sheep, you know, like,
you can't get all systems? You can't get all ecology on it because that is demonstrated to not work because the players will just... kill whatever they have to kill to maximize the spawn rate of the best,
right?
The thing that has the best gold drops or whatever, right? Like you would need a system that was sophisticated enough to adjust to things like that to, like, try to promote the maximum amount of fun and sort of try to thwart that kind of, like, metagamey optimization,
right?
And it is a task that I certainly think we're not capable of now. But I think that it is theoretically possible. But the WoW guy was dismissive. He was like, I don't think you can do that. And I was like, I don't think you can do that, buddy. I don't know what.
I
mean,
think your mom can.
Maybe
do that.
The singularity will happen and we can just ask Jesus bot how to do it. And he'll be like, oh, here you go. Done. I did. I knew you were going to ask that, and so I made it so I could give it to you, and it'd be a funny joke because he would also be the funniest robot.
Oh, I love Jesus Bot.
That's going to be the best thing about the Singularity is the robots are going to be super good at jokes.
I mean
that and immortality, right?
Oh, like it's, well, yeah.
Who knows, man? You get Jesus Bot. Jesus Bot might decide, you know what?
So many jokes that you're just going to be laughing your entire life.
Probably.
Like, it's just going to be escalating levels of humor.
Super fun world, and your life is so long because of the stem cells that Jesus Bot distributes.
Right. He starts with a loaf and 40 fishes. And
he makes them into milkshakes because milkshakes are delicious, and Jesus Bot knows milkshakes are delicious because Jesus Bot knows everything. He even makes it exactly the right flavor milkshake for you. You're like, wow, I've always wanted a milkshake this flavor, but I never knew it. It's like always like baby blood flavored. Turns out everybody loves that, but almost nobody in human history has gone out and made themselves a baby blood milkshake.
Yeah.
And everybody who has, the history books are like, yeah, we should not mention that because this gets out. We are fucked as a species. And
yeah,
you know, we're historians,
of like baby blood harvesting and the invention of ice cream, they were kind of not very... Not temporarily aligned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also required a blender, which is hard. Oh, they used to have those horse-powered blenders. And before that, not a lot of people know this, but in Conan the Barbarian, when he was enslaved, the wheel that he was turning was actually a baby blood milkshake blender that guy.
I bet they had the giant ice cream crank, too.
There was a hairy guy.
Hand-cranked ice cream bucket.
Going back to this whole ecology thing, what prevents people... in the real world from being like, you know, the easiest way for me to make some money and get ahead in this world is to just like rob and kill a bunch of other people, right?
I think nothing prevents a lot of people from doing that. I mean, some people.
But proportionally, there's the number of people who do that is very low compared to the number of people that are alive.
Well, sure, because the real world has consequences, which a video game world does not.
Okay.
Until we institute a system of Wuffy, where your actions in a virtual world also contribute to your social capital in the real world.
What happens if you if you have consequences in a virtual world?
Down and Out of the Magic Kingdom. You should read it.
Okay.
What it's like Wuffy. Why do we not have that? Like why do we not like?
Well, because you can't have meaningful consequences in a virtual world. Oh, we gave your character the chair. Oh well, I guess I'll play another video game. That in the real world, you're like, unless Jesus Bot intervenes, you're like, oh, game over, man. Now what am I going to do? Nothing, because I just got juiced.
That the fear of jail and punishment is necessarily what keeps people from doing stuff, though, does it? Like, isn't there some sort of like moral contract? You don't think that people just...
Sure. I mean, I think there's probably some innate desire to
empathy.
Cooperate.
Yeah.
But I think stripped of meaning, all other meaningful impulses become meaningless.
Gone. And also, we have enough stuff that sharing is not a big deal. Like if the apocalypse went down and we're all wrestling with zombies to survive, then people are going to be a lot less empathic about.
No way. If there's anything that I've learned, it's that a ragtag group of survivors will band together and sort out their differences, mostly by killing each other.
Yes.
Oh wait. Okay.
So could you have a video game where there were consequences for doing stuff that went against social contracts or against the, you know, the ecological order of the world or whatever?
I was thinking about making a Facebook game where if you don't log in for a couple of days, your character dies and you can never play it again.
Huh. Could you make a new character?
No.
Oh, you can never play the game again?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, no. It's like real world book, Facebook. If you don't feed your guy
real
for
world book.
2 days. Yeah. Huh. Pretty good game, huh? Microtransactions. It's the future.
You could have a microtransaction where you pay a dollar to buy your guy a cheeseburger that he won't open until he's starving to death.
Nope.
So you have an extra day.
Were you serious about this? This is actually something that's interesting.
No, I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it today. Not a fucking Facebook game. I'm not going to make a fucking Facebook game.
But I mean, I think Facebook would be a really interesting market for it. Because like people,
Facebook is the environment for that game.
You've
already got authentication that people care about, right? Like that is one thing. You're not just going to make a new Facebook account to play this game because you're not us, right? So you're not going to have a fake Facebook account just to play video games without irritating people.
I mean, that is a really interesting idea. People will I think largely reject it as a
absolutely. The actual idea that I was mulling over in my head today was a game where one of it, like a post-apocalyptic, just sort of turn-based, like totally simple to develop, mostly procedurally generated thing.
Uh-huh.
That was difficult, you know. And if you could not find any food in 3 days, you died. And the most precious thing that you can find in the game is an invite code for another person to put in a, like, you find a survivor. And okay. What that is an item that lets you email a key to the game to another player. And, like, if the game dies out, the game dies out. Huh. It probably wouldn't.
Well, it depends on how you balance
it. It depends on how you balance it, yeah.
Balance, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that would be an interesting experiment.
But the irony of that is that the more people that you put into the world, the harder it is to find resources, right? So there is sort of a weird
total
balancing
player kill, hardcore PvP.
Yeah. Have you been reading about or playing DayZ?
No.
It's a mod
for Arma 2.
I've been watching some YouTube videos of people playing it. It's kind of really interesting.
What's the idea?
It's basically they took
single player, right? I mean,
it's on a server, right?
What is Arma 2?
Arma 2 is a war game.
Okay,
it's a first person, but depending on how the server is set up, you can play in third-person mode. But mostly it's first-person. And the environment is a 200-square-kilometer hunk of Central Europe, like Czechoslovakia or somewhere.
Okay.
Like, literally rendered. Like, they got the geographical data, and here's where buildings are, and here's where forests are, and recreated all of that. So the terrain and everything feels
that
like
makes me super happy because I totally drew a dick there in the real world, so now everybody gets to see that in the game.
So that everything looks has that real feel instead of the sort of created designed feel, and this mod adds basically zombies and hunger and things like that to the world.
Hungary?
And part of it is
it's too bad it didn't extend into Turkey, or we could eat that.
And one of the interesting things that they do is you're expected to play with a headset, and it's set up so that when you talk, anybody in proximity to you can hear what you're saying, like and louder or softer volume depending on their distance from you. So I was watching this YouTube video of the three guys playing, and they're like standing on top of this warehouse, keeping away from these zombies, and a little bit lower on the roof of a shed, they spot another guy down there, and they started shouting to him. It's like, hey, dude, are you okay? What's going on? And you hear, help, help. I've forgotten his name. Larry, help me. It's like,
his name was Larry, help me?
I don't think we can get down there. Larry, are you going to be okay? It's like, oh, no, I'm really. And then he like fell off the roof of the building, and zombies started eating him. And you heard him like, oh, help. It was like, oh, shit, they got Larry.
Wow.
It was hilarious.
Wait, that doesn't sound hilarious. That sounds horrific.
Well,
anti-larious.
It was also horrific. It was hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yes. But it's really interesting.
It sounds cool.
And people flip between playing friendly or playing bandits and killing each other for your food and bullets. And
I am interested in it. The first thing that I saw didn't really make it clear what game, like I didn't know what Arma 2 was.
Yeah.
And so apparently this mod is making that game sell pretty hotly
on Steam
right now.
It seems pretty complicated. It seems like the thing where you definitely want to watch some YouTube videos and find some tutorials before jumping in.
You know what I almost never want to do is watch a fucking YouTube video. Mm. I'm starting to get more and more annoyed.
Because of the ads?
No, just in general. Like when I want to know something about a video game,
oh yeah,
I search for it on Google.
You want
and it's
a textual thing that
I just
you can
want
scan.
Something that is
good. I would, yeah, 9 times out of 10, I would rather read an article than watch a YouTube video. But except for Let's Plays, I enjoy watching a good Let's Play.
I do not understand how you can do that. I just don't have the patience for it.
Not having any agency would drive me crazy. Like, What's over there? What's behind that? Where are you going? The door.
It is.
Oh, God, what the fuck?
Yeah, I do a lot of that. I've been watching a dude let's play Fez, and he's not the most alert and observant dude. He like goes into that classroom that tells you about how the numbers work in Fez.
I haven't gotten anywhere.
And he's like, flips around and looks at the thing and like, dude, you need to notice that. You're going to need that later. He's like, oh, I guess there's nothing here. And he
wanders off.
Yeah. You know, and just shouting at the screen. And then every now and then I have to go, oh, he can't hear me.
Spoilers for Fez.
He's been eaten by zombies.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what we've been playing and a bunch of other stuff. Kevin, what's new?
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't see the thing moving because you scaled it out so far.
Boop.
Let's hear it. New in the world. This might be too late by the time you hear this, but there's this kind of awesome, huge sale going on right now. A bunch of indie developers got together and they're like, you know what? We can sell stuff at whatever price we want. And so they're doing that, and they have this huge, like, really deeply discounted sale going on it was like 100 different games. Something like that. It was a lot of games.
What are the highlights?
I mean, let's see here.
The highlights for children adventure games.
World of Goo was on there.
A Goofus versus Gallant. The Reckoning.
Just a ton of, like, just a ton of indie games.
Who do you think
would
win in a fight between Goofus and Gallant? I bet Gallant has some secret fucking cruelty deep in his heart.
Yeah.
Turns out that Gallant is like the guy from Saw.
He's been putting up with that Goofus asshole for a lot of years.
Built up resentment.
Yeah.
It's a powerful fuel.
Yeah, and then it turns out Goofus is doing just fine, and Gallant gets like pancreatic cancer at age 38 or something, and is like, fuck the world. Just goes apeshit. But just in like super, super cruel. Yeah. This is good. This is good, guys. Yeah. You writing this down? This is the theme. This is the theme for our Facebook "You Die After 2 Days" game.
That sale, by the way, you can find at becausewemay.com.
There's also a, I think it's Humble Indie Music Bundle, which is pretty cool.
Okay,
that's like anything you want to pay for like these 5 indie game soundtracks, and then if you pay at least 10, they throw in like 6 more.
Oh wow!
And there's some good stuff in there.
Anything we don't already have?
The Plants vs. Zombies soundtrack is in there. That's pretty good. What else? Frozen Synapse's soundtrack is in there. Some other games that I haven't actually played and don't remember the names of.
I think Frozen Synapse or some of the expansion stuff for that might be in the indie sale as well.
I still kind of don't care about Frozen Synapse.
I never played it. So I
enjoyed it for the one session that I played it. I'm rarely in the mood to play that sort of game.
Longer term.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited that indie developers are getting together that way to do to do stuff.
Why didn't they call us? Oh, because we don't sell anything.
Yeah.
Fuck.
we're too
maybe this time next year after we've
unprofessional.
After we've won the IGF or whatever.
Yeah. Good luck on that.
The fig.
Let's see here. So we've talked about 38 Studios for a couple weeks now, and they finally laid off their entire staff. So they
turns out they were walking on Knights of
America,
Fantasy America, Ratchet and Clank 2.
Kingdoms of Amalur.
What?
Reckoning 2.
Oh.
Ah,
that's boring.
So they were already
Kingdoms of Amalur, Rhode Island. Kingdoms of Amalur 0, Rhode Island 2.
They were apparently were already sort of starting to work on the sequel when they got shut down. Mm. Yeah, you know.
They had a lot of screenshots of an MMO.
It is weird that they could sell a million copies of Kingdoms of Amalur for $60 each. So they brought in $60 million worth of...
Well, no. I mean, they probably brought in $30 million after the retailer's markup.
I guess.
Kicked in, or Steam got their cut, or whatever, right? And then how much did the publisher want? And then
were they published by somebody?
They
else?
Borrowed $75 million from Rhode Island, and
they didn't get
all of that. But as I understand it, Schilling also put up like $50 million of his own money.
I don't think it was 50. It was more like
I think I heard
12 or something.
Yeah, I read it was 50.
That's pretty low.
I read a lot of like I go to numbersthatimadeup.blogspot.com. And really, I just
Shinty
go
six.
Yeah, Shinty six. I'm pretty sure that Kurt Schilling put up Shinty $6 million of his own money.
Because if you're just making up numbers, then every web address is just a made up number. Oh. Not just the IP address, but like, you know.
Right, like every Metallica song appears somewhere in Pi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Also, every Metallica song secretly about Pi. That one that you thought was about a guy who had his legs and lips and nose blown off in a landmine accident. Mm. He's actually a Pi.
The Blizzard offices in Seoul, Korea were raided by the Korean Fair Trade Commission because of... Basically, hundreds of people there were pissed that they couldn't play the game for large, long stretches of time.
Like almost 2 entire hours.
No, I think it went down because they came out in Korea first, so they probably were down even longer than they've been out here. And they wanted their money back, and Blizzard said no.
Do you think that there was a hilarious stand-up comedy exchange where they say Blizzard's Seoul offices were raided? What? I thought Blizzard had more than one office. No, their Seoul office was raided.
What's the caliber of their Seoul office? So I mean, this is an interesting question.
Good.
I don't get it.
Seoul caliber?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
This is a question though. So like, if I want my money back for a product because it is not what it was promised to be, like which was a game that I could play when I want to play it, right? Like,
I mean, I think that's kind of chicken shit.
Well, okay.
Demanding a refund?
Yeah, for
let's
two
say
days or whatever.
The game went down and was unplayable, period.
Forever? Yeah.
Would you think that I would be liable to get a refund?
Well, I mean, it's
and
weird.
How like how long does the game have
general,
to be in existence?
You can't get refunds on software at all if it has been opened, right? I mean, that's just how it has always worked. And sure, there are a lot of people that are pissed about that. But, you know, I mean, I feel like class action suit is your recourse there. As opposed to call the cops.
Well, what right? they did was call the Fair Trade Commission, and the Fair Trade Commission, I mean, I guess the laws in Korea are a little more consumer friendly or whatever. So we'll see how that falls out.
The rain in Spain is more planes friendly.
I mean, yes. It would be nice if you could call the FTC on some dudes for having buggy, crash filled bullshit release, but
it's true.
I mean, I think that would all, like, not to support the man here, but I think widespread abuse of that would really make it hard for anybody to ever release a software product, right? I mean,
we've become really accustomed to bullshit coming out, though.
I mean, games are inflating, I think, for no good reason. I think a lot of the problem and the gigantic billions of dollars that it costs to make a game nowadays is basically just because of people insisting on maximum possible number of polygons.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's what they keep buying, right?
Like, if you run a movie theater and the film shits out halfway through, you give refunds to all those people in that theater.
Right. I suppose that is true. If you run a movie theater and the film starts 5 minutes late and somebody demands a refund, you would say, fuck you. That is a chicken shit reason for a refund. So
they watch the movie, then you don't give them a refund. If they walk out 5 minutes and like the movie has not started yet, I'm leaving, I want my money back, then you would give them their money back.
If it's in the first few minutes, right? Because I mean,
somebody buys a game and they want to play it on the first day and they get like 2 hours out of 24 playable or something.
I mean, in Korea, can you return a game if you don't like it?
I don't know. Apparently, there's enough of a complaint that is enough in line with the Korean laws that they are actually able to, they're going to assess whether or not there was any illegal activity by Blizzard.
I mean, because at some point you have to not let people do that, right? I mean, you can't just say, oh, well, if you don't like a movie, when the movie's over, just come and get a refund, because then everyone will start doing that all the time.
Sure. No, I realize that.
You know what I realized? Like, I had not... I was at a hotel all weekend at the Phoenix Comic Con, and I had not watched television in a really long time. And once it got past, like, 10 o'clock or so at night, almost every commercial that I saw was a commercial for if you were prescribed this drug and had this thing happen, call us so that we can sue your doctor. for this shit that happened to you. Just left and right. So many of them. That's like all there was on television was these, you know, just commercials about like basically class action malpractice suits.
Weird.
About, you know, oh, well, this drug turned out to have a bad side effect that nobody knew of. And if this happened to you, you should sue the doctor who prescribed it to you. Like,
I would rather sue the drug company.
Maybe they were. I don't know. Maybe they, rather, were, maybe they were suits against drug companies. I don't know.
I would rather none of this happened at all.
Yeah, me too, I think. I mean, I think I would rather just people acknowledge that, you know, sometimes if you go to the doctor, he's going to make a mistake that, you know, maybe your finger falls off or something, and he doesn't, you know.
It was not a willful thing. It wasn't like, oh,
side effect of this is millions of dollars because
narcolepsy or whatever, you know.
I mean, I feel like while there definitely are cases of negligence, I also feel like there's a lot of people who, like, you know, trip and break their ankle stumbling drunk past a construction site, and then they sue. I actually know multiple people who did this, and then they sue the construction company for, you know, maybe like $100,000. But it's still like, it's like, yeah, the construction company shouldn't have left a brick on the sidewalk. I guess they should have. They should have cleaned that up. But at the same time, like, you tripping over it does not, in my mind, entitle you to $100,000, right? Like. Maybe your medical expenses, for like, for real, maybe.
But there's also like the whole lost work and lost productivity thing. Like, there's
I don't know.
It gets complicated.
All of the individual cases, I mean, that, and that's the problem, right? All of the individual cases of it that I have seen have been just clearly abusive, and so it's really it's very hard for me.
It poisons you against
it, and that sucks, right? And you know, maybe it's just because I hang out with thieves, dirty slime
balls. Shiftly lieabouts.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't know that.
If you're shiftless, does that mean that you don't have like a an undergarment?
You can't move around. Well, every time you walk, you either go forward or backwards. You can never go sideways.
Oh. I see. Okay.
Is that shunt?
Shunt. That's shuntless. Yeah, I think. Unless
strafe.
Strafeless.
What is it called in What is it called in Dungeons and Dragons 4th edition? Shard. Oh, I don't know. A shard is when you move one.
There you go.
Regardless of facing. Yep. Does D&D 4th edition have facing? I don't think it has facing.
I thought it did.
Does
it
have facing? I don't recall.
Because isn't there line of sight and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think there's facing.
Yeah, I think you can rotate for free.
Huh. Interesting.
So it might as well not.
Just place down the street, you'll rotate your tires for free. Hmm. And then they leave tires sitting out on the sidewalk. So if you want, you just walk down there in the middle of the night and trip over them.
Oh, hey.
Solid gold. That was a solid gold ankle fracture.
Yeah,
you just
I don't
want
to trip over a solid gold tire.
Yeah.
Maybe a solid gold dancer.
Okay. Yeah, you trip over a solid gold dancer, and then she's like, oh, come here, honey. I don't know. Are the solid gold dancers girls?
I think all dancers are girls.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah. If I learned anything from Black Swan, it's that I haven't seen the movie Black Swan.
Have you not, really?
No, I have not.
Neither have I.
Oh, it's pretty good, actually.
What's this Castlevania movie? With Natalie Portman in it.
It's got a really long title.
Press up and B to fire the hot grits.
Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate. So apparently Castlevania, Lords of Shadow was an Xbox
game. That was the fighting game, right?
Yeah, that was the God of War style Castlevania.
Wait, is it a God of War style game or was it a fighting game? I thought it was like...
I'm pretty sure.
Isn't God of War kind of a fighting game?
No, I mean like a fighting game like Street Fighter.
I'm not aware of a Castlevania game that is like that.
What? I'm pretty sure that Castlevania Lords of Shadow is a Castlevania game like that. I'm also pretty sure that I just accidentally hit the button that closed the browser instead of opening a new tab.
But anyway, they're
like making an expansion to that?
It's a sequel. They're making a Lords of Shadow 2, and then along with the release of Lords of Shadow 2, they're making Lords of Shadow Mirror of Fate, which is a DS game set in the same continuity.
Okay. Well, third-person action-adventure game. What am I thinking of?
It is going to be more like Order of Ecclesia than it is like the Xbox games, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
but it's like 2.5D. Like, it's 3D environment.
It's like 2D, 2.5D, somewhere in between.
2.25D.
It is, I believe, polygon
ED.
Pixel art.
Yeah, I'm annoyed by that, too.
Pixel
art is so good.
Although a Castlevania
game so dumb
with
is to not
Trine
see
style art, I would take it.
Okay.
Just see what they're going to do.
I'd still rather have
art. Let's tell them right now, because we know better
pixel
than they do
art.
What they should do.
Pixel art Castlevania. That's the way you do it.
Pixel art Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Is that like,
it's let's, like next to Hershey?
All right, let's build a train route from Pixel Art, Pennsylvania to Pueblo, Colorado.
And speaking of.
Yeah, and then Skyrim, their 1.6 patch is coming out, which adds horse combat.
Don't care.
Yeah, that's not enough for me to put that disc in. Maybe when they have
put that disc in?
To go find my Skyrim disc and put it back in the thing and play more Skyrim.
Yeah, who are you?
Is this 1985?
You have a disc?
Why didn't you install the no CD crack?
PlayStation 3.
Oh my God! You've got a console.
It took me a minute to think. What the fuck is wrong with you guys? So how did you play it without
a
disc?
Minute? That's got to be a record for figuring out what the fuck is wrong with me, at least.
That's weird. So on the console, you have to have a physical artifact.
You have to put in an actual round.
Do you have to actually hold a controller in your hands and use your meat? Yep. Use your meat protrusions to.
I'm not allowed to call it that, but yes.
Does the game save online or is it
no,
saved
it saves
local?
On the DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super weird.
Is it saved locally? Like, yeah. If you have no interconnection,
think global.
Connection, does Skyrim for the console do anything weird?
What?
When you play Skyrim on the
Skyrim
console.
Skyrim is always on DRM.
Okay, so when I played Skyrim, which was through Steam, if I was not connected to the internet, weird shit started happening because, like, you were saving games locally, but when I finally reconnected to the internet, it like forgot all my progress because the Steam save didn't match up with my local save.
It's all local. There's no.
It's all.
Does PS3 have any cloud saving at all? Like I don't even know.
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe it does if you pimp for like PlayStation Gold or whatever it's called, but I don't have that.
I was just this was just in my head because of all the complaints about requiring online access to play Diablo 3, right? Like, it is a thing that people are still annoyed about. And,
especially the Koreans.
Yeah, well, and I'm just curious what the story is. Like, I realize that there are some arguments that I can see or I can make for having it be a good idea, but when this many people are this angry at it and it has lasted this long, like it didn't just kind of blow over in the first week. Like, people are still talking about it and still annoyed by it.
I think that the people who are pissed about this are a
angry,
vanishingly small percentage of the people who are playing it.
Yeah.
I wonder. I've heard a lot of complaints.
Didn't it end up being, like, the most sold video game ever?
It's the fastest selling. But squeaky wheels, you know, they're all up in your grill. Plus, I contend that there is a really... The internet is really mad at video games right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all the news is bad.
Did video games sleep with the internet's sister?
They probably did.
Yeah.
What is the internet's sister?
Oh, Telegraph?
Telegraph? Telegraph? We both went to Telegraph?
That'd be like dad. That's the internet's
or grand,
dad.
Grandpa.
Or grandpa. Yeah.
Is the sister younger and sexier?
The internet's sister is sexting.
Okay.
Okay. So no wonder. I mean, what are you going to do? No, I mean, I really feel like there is just a ton of negativity in the, like, places where people talk about video games on the internet right now, more so than usual. And I don't know, I mean...
Why are people not just, like, shitting themselves with happiness about the existence of video games at all?
Well, people get...
Are people just too entitled and inured?
Well, then you get used to.
Jaded?
You get used to what you got, and everybody wants to complain about
something. So it's like, my harem is just ridiculous. There's only 20 ladies in it, and, you know, all these other people have these better harems.
You've already banged all the ladies. You banged all 20 of them. You're bored. I don't know, man.
What about the secret lady levels?
What?
I don't know. The secret. Have you explored all the... secrets? Have you got all the achievements?
Have I 100%ed my 20 women? I guess. Yeah. There's Calendar Man where you got to do that weird. I was
on all the holidays.
Yeah, I'm going to make some terrible. No.
Yeah.
Just, I'm going to stop there.
Yeah. It's probably for the best.
Calendar Man. You guys, Calendar Man. Everybody's pissed off at Calendar Man now. They loved him, but then later they're like, fuck Calendar Man. I don't know.
I don't want a goddamn clue what you're talking about.
And Arkham Man was in Batman's
Arkham City or Arkham
and,
Asylum.
Yeah, in
or
Arkham City, where you got to talk to Calendar Man. You get some achievement for talking to Calendar Man on every holiday, including all the stupid ones.
There's like at least one a month. I think there are 12. I think there are 12 different, holidays.
No, it includes all the stupid holidays like Christmas. What? The fourth of some.
Yeah.
Christmas the fourth.
Beethoven's second. You have to talk to Calendar Man on the anniversary of the release of Beethoven's second.
Oh, I should put that in the calendar next year.
Oh, boy. The second of Beethoven.
Yeah. So that's the news.
Cool. All right, assignment. We got a word. What?
You guys didn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember playing this game and basically not being able to do... this assignment is Quest for Glory 1, by the way, and I think we all played...
Or originally known as Heroes Quest.
We all played the original.
Oh,
the
I don't know.
I don't think I did. I played the updated... Video Game Awards. Yeah, the one... The
MTV Movie Awards remake.
Right. The version that's not type, it's like point and click like a LucasArts adventure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But unlike a LucasArts adventure, you can die. Which is kind of what screwed me up, because I grew up on LucasArts adventures and have no nostalgia for Sierra games.
And that Jesus bot has totally spoiled
it. I remember dying in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
I don't think I ever played that one.
Yeah, I think there were a handful of LucasArts games where
the early ones, but yeah.
So Quest for Glory had all of these RPG elements that I thought were really cool when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But trying to play the game now, all of those systems seemed so cumbersome. Like, I lost a bunch of hit points, and then I just had to spend the entire rest of my playthrough avoiding combats, because if I got into a combat, I would instantly die, and there was no way to restore hit points.
Yeah. Well, plus some things like having the different skills for lockpicking and climbing sounds cool at first, until you realize that trying to do anything related to that trains it, so it just means that instead of climbing the tree on your first try, you just try 30 times and then you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see if... I mean, I don't want to just start like trying to improve this, right? Because I mean, it's a 20-year... You know what we realized at dinner that sort of freaked us out a little bit? More time has passed between now and when Metroid came out than passed between when Kennedy was assassinated and Metroid came out. Isn't that fucked up? You guys, Kennedy.
The MTV VJ?
Yeah, it sucked. She was cut down in her prime.
She was my favorite.
You didn't? I like Matt Pinfield.
Mm.
Pauly Shore was pretty good. I mean, Pauly Shore is good at everything. Pauly Shore was like the proto Tom Hanks.
I really loved Heroes Quest back in the day, and I loved it almost as much again on replay. Like,
they should have Pauly Shore as an unlockable class in every RPG.
Not character, yeah. Class. Yep. You can be Hans Gruberman, second level Pauly Shore.
Yeah. Hans Gruberman. Because this is the Die Hard RPG.
There was the Die Hard guy who's named Hans Gruberman.
Hans Gruber, yeah, not Hans Gruberman. Gruber,
yeah.
But now I have a weasel. Yeah. All right, guys. Solid gold game ideas coming out of this roundtable discussion tonight. So we're gonna We're gonna talk about Quest for Glory.
Yeah.
I almost wish that like you had some stats that you could only alter by playing the game, and then you had some skills, and like maybe you just you either knew how to climb or you didn't. Right? It wasn't like a thing where it's like, well, since I didn't put any points in climbing, I have to type climb tree 1,000 times instead of 10 times to level my climb.
Okay, I agree that there are some weird, like it was a set of systems that was not necessarily fun, like having to climb a tree a bunch of times to actually climb the tree.
Throwing a dagger at a target over and over again to improve your throwings.
Yep. Which is one of the best ways to make money in the game.
It's throwing?
Yeah.
How?
If you're a thief.
What do you throw?
daggers.
Oh, in the Thieves Guild, you play the betting game where you throw. Oh.
Yeah.
Is that an actual game, or does it just... Do you have control over where the dagger throws?
You do. Your skill determines how accurate your throw is.
I see.
Your hand starts in a variety of different positions, and you assign it a power and a direction, like in a sort of angle.
Huh. That's weird.
It's kind
of
neat.
That was a lot of work for...
Well, there is also that mage minigame, which fuck that right in the ass. That is a terrible, terrible minigame.
What is that one?
I remember having a really hard time understanding what was going on when I tried to play it, and the time lag between you like typing stuff and
you don't type anything in the mage minigame now. It's all point and click. It
a lot of minigames in this game now that I think about it.
Yeah, I mean it was a pretty ambitious undertaking, and I think they kind of screwed it. They didn't quite realized the dream of what this could be, but it was still so exciting for me as a kid that I was super happy about it.
So much of the time I was just like, oh, fuck, if I could just... I would pay some silver to go sleep in the inn, but you can't sleep because it's daytime, and the only way to get time to pass walk back and forth between two screens 100 times.
That's not how you make time
pass. It doesn't work. How do you make time pass?
The time passes
by
itself. When you
fight, when you rest.
Resting makes 10 minutes pass. Resting is a good way to make time pass.
How long are the days? But then you rest, and it's like, you don't feel like resting. You're too impatient to rest now. And
because
so
your stamina was too high.
Right, so then you just gotta... do jumping jacks?
You use that as a resource to increase your skills.
Yeah, but then, like, you could go train with the sword guy, but you can only do that once a day. You could go work in the stables, but you can only do that once a day. And then, like...
Right. I guess, the way that I was playing the game, which, like, again, this is just... Because I'm kind of a maximizer, the game spoke to me. You always pick the thief class, because they're the only class that can actually have all the stats. Like, they're the class that can do everything.
Because they start with at least some points in every...
Everything except for magic and one other thing. And you just give those two things some points, and then you have some. You still have, like, 20 points left over.
Oh, I didn't think you could put points in things that were zero.
It costs 15 instead of 5.
Oh.
Right. So that's why with, like, the fighter or the magician, the magician, you can't, because I think they both have at least 4 zeros.
Okay.
But the thief can have everything, and so you can have everything available to you. You just start with like lower stats than other characters would, but because you can raise them just through gameplay. But like casting a spell costs stamina as well, so you like can cast a bunch of spells to get that up. But if you don't have those, I can see how that would be frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to play it as a fighter, and it was just like, I can't really accomplish anything because I have 3 hit points, and if I go...
So what you should have done, which, you know, I can understand not understanding this, is you have to save before every fight, and you have to do the fight over until
you get lucky.
You win with a large enough margin.
What's weird is that it doesn't... I can't see a way to be good at the fights. I mean, maybe that's a game that has rules that you can figure out, but...
You can parry and you can dodge, and those do actually do something, but... doing them reactively is so hard. I don't know how you would do it in a meaningful reactive way. The way that I fought most of the time was just hold up arrow and just stab as many times as possible.
Hmm.
And you know, you especially early in the game, 8 or 10 times out of 9 or 11 times you are going to lose the fight, but then occasionally you'll win.
I can't do that math anymore.
Sorry.
Occasionally you'll win with full hit points?
No, not early on, no. But, you know, you especially, okay, so as a thief and a magic user, you have a bunch of additional tricks at your disposal, right? You can cast Calm, which sort of stuns the enemies until you've attacked them. When you learn the Dazzle spell, you can sort of stun them. And so you can, what I would often do is I'd stun an enemy, walk to the other side of the screen, throw a dagger at it. If I'd have it run towards me, I'd dazzle it again and run to the other side of the screen, throw another dagger at it. And so when the fight eventually started, they were at half health to begin with.
Hmm. Okay.
Right. So like there is a bunch of stuff that you can do, but by that point you're probably already good enough at combat that if you had full hit points, you could kill something anyway. So, but then, and you also weren't using potions, which are something you should probably use. You start getting more and more of those. And
yeah. I mean,
stuff.
It just seemed like so precious because it was so hard to get any gold. Right. But I mean, I guess you can get gold by doing the puzzles.
Yeah. And once you've been able to train for a while, and you know, you fight goblins, there's a place where you get a bunch of goblin fights in a chain.
There was supposed to be a goblin maze in there, but they had to cut it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It also, I was reading about this. There were also supposed to be races. There were supposed to be 4 races that specialized in different things
that you could play,
as opposed to a playable class. So you'd pick like the gnome and be a thief. You'd pick the centaur and be an archer. You're supposed to be able to play as a centaur.
Neat.
Yeah.
So, and there were a bunch of challenges where there were different solutions for different classes, but like, so there's the ring in the nest, which you can either climb the tree as a thief, throw a rock at it as a fighter, or cast a fetch spell as a mage. And then there's the I need to catch this seed thing where you can climb up to catch it as a thief, you can throw a rock at it as a fighter, or you can cast a fetch spell.
Yeah, you can also kill it, but then you can just hack up one of the plants with your sword.
Oh, you can.
As a fighter, but then I think maybe the dryad gets pissed at you later.
Yeah.
And maybe you can't beat the game. I don't know. I think it comes back to life if you go back in there, so I don't know what she's pissed about.
You might not get enough the same number of points.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. There's the magic kobold or whatever, that there's a bunch of different ways to get the key from him. There's a bunch of different ways to get past like the bear, or
there's different ways to buy 50 apples for the
That's always the same.
Joe Jotunheim. I don't remember what that guy's name is.
Yeah, the rhyme speaking giant. What other things are there? Different ways to do based on different
yeah,
stuff.
I just got so fed up with constantly getting killed.
I mean, when you're theoretically you're not supposed to have all of the different stats. So when you're a thief, there's like a bunch of extra stuff going on, like breaking into people's houses and the Thieves Guild. And when you're a magic user, there's the whole mage game and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the fighter has the sort of boring. I don't know. I guess some of the other buildings in town you were supposed to be able to go into and do stuff too. The ones with the signs on the doors were put there as we had to cut this feature from the game.
Really?
Yeah, as opposed to them just being scenery.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, you know, I don't know how much of my love of this game is just nostalgia and how much of it is just sort of this kind of awesome blend between an RPG and a text adventure.
I mean, I think I was just as frustrated with it as a kid as I was now. It's just I had more patience and fewer games.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And so it was the RPG elements, I think, when I was a kid, allowed me to feel like I was accomplishing something in the game without actually being able to do any of the important things that were going on in the, you know, in the story, in the quest of the game. But I think, I don't know, felt a little hollow. Well, it didn't feel hollow. It just felt badly implemented. You know, it felt like these systems were very inexpertly applied to this system, and there were places where it was open to abuse and hostile to use.
They probably should have had more easier enemies. Like the goblins should have just been really easy to kill so that you could use them as a way to increase your
like,
fighting
to,
stats.
To at least earn, maybe if the goblins dropped something that healed you.
Well, I mean,
you know, or
dropping money is effectively dropping something that gets closer to healing you, right?
Well, I guess, except that it takes one goblin to kill you, and it takes 30 goblins to drop enough silver to get a healing potion. Right? I mean, so
potentially
that's not
so
that's
you know,
not
you're,
sustainable.
You're supposed to use your skills, your specialized skills. So, I mean, as a fighter, you're probably supposed to be able to
dodge and block and parry and stuff.
Or you're supposed to be able to take more damage because you've got more hit points and you can do more damage because you start with a higher weapon use or
but I mean you're basically still just instantly dead when you go into a fight.
Yeah, I mean
yeah,
it's hard for me to say because I was always just saving before a fight and then scumming it until the fights were so random.
Yeah.
that's another thing that it was pretty dissatisfying, like doing the same strategy twice where a fight would start and all I would do is hold the up arrow half of the time I'd die, and half of the time they'd die, and then it was just a question of like, how many hit points am I willing to lose in this fight?
Right.
You know.
Riff, are you tying a string around your finger to remember to say something about Quest for Glory 1?
I think I already said everything I can say about it. Didn't much enjoy it.
No.
That's sad.
You didn't play it as a kid.
No.
No.
Mm-hmm. So next assignment.
Next assignment. This was your idea, so you tell the people because I don't remember what it is.
So I mentioned last week that Ticket to Ride Pocket Edition came out and was free for a while. It's back up to like $2 or whatever. And so we're going to try that. There's a multiplayer mode. I think we're going to try like a synchronous game of Ticket to Ride and talk about We can talk about other...
Yeah, we can talk about adaptations of board games to iOS.
Yeah.
Adaptations of board games to video games. Like, I remember playing Monopoly.
I played a bunch of Risks.
Port of Jeopardy. You know, the famous board game Jeopardy.
Civilization.
That was started as a board game?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I think it was the other way around.
I think it went both ways. I think it was...
Oh, the Civilization is based on Go.
No, I think there was an earlier, simpler board game.
Really?
That was converted into a video game.
Sid Meier's Checkers.
And now, and then Sid Meier's Civilization, the board game, exists.
Okay.
I might be wrong about that, but I
you should look that up. I'm curious.
True. Yeah.
What other adaptations were there?
I mean, there's a lot of Carcassonne.
Sure.
iOS is. There's Elder Signs.
Elder Signs is really good on iPad.
I really want just a video game adaptation of Arkham Horror so that I can play Arkham Horror without
other people
set up. Oh, yeah, also that.
Yeah.
Hell is Arkham Horror with other people. yeah, cool. So that's what we're going to do. Ticket to Ride Pocket for the iOS. Or really, I mean, you could play their board game. And then think about the differences.
Same thing.
Think about the differences between what we're saying and what you said. Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a question for the segment that we always skip, listeners' mail,
yeah.
How would they do that?
Well, they could tweet us at VGHotDog, email us VGHotDog@gmail.com, or forum us videogameshotdog.com.
And be sure to tell everybody about our Kickstarter.
Yeah. And follow us on the tweeters. If you listen to this and you're like, damn it, I missed that awesome sale, you could have found out about it if you were following us on Twitter.
VG Hot Dog at VG Hot Dog.
At VG Hot Dog.
Earthlink.net.
WordRealms.com.
Yeah, WordRealms.com. That's word. That's the word and the word realms.
Yeah.
The WordRealms.com.
We're over 50% at this point. So
yeah. We're
chugging along.
We're getting there.
Maybe going to make it.
Eh.
Yeah, whatever.
If we could just get some real butts, publicity.
If we could just get, here's what we do. We hire an army of prostitutes,
mm-hmm.
and every john they blow, they steal $11 from and commit it to our Kickstarter.
Huh.
So all they have to do is increase the price of their blows by $11.
What about guys, a body blow?
This is pretty much a perfect plan. Do you remember going to arcades when Punch-Out was in there and there was just that guy saying, body blow, body blow, body blow. And then later on in the 90s, it was Olajuwon, Olajuwon, Olajuwon.
Whoa, what?
From NBA Jam.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
I never hung out next to any sports video games.
Really?
Ever. Yeah.
So when I played Mortal Kombat 2, it was always right next to NBA Jam, and they were always saying stuff about Olajuwon! Or Elijah Wood is going to be a big star when the Lord of the Rings movies come out in 10 years.
That's was what, it the movie phone guy?
That's what Marv Albert was saying. I don't know, is it Fat Albert?
Yeah. Was Fat Albert's first name Marv?
Sure. I think it was probably Albert. Yeah.
So
I wonder if you ever knew Fat Albert's...
Einstein.
I wonder if you ever knew Fat... Pujols. All right. Good night, everybody.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Oh, my God. They got Larry.